Used to get it from Farmer Hold Brothers. It.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings and welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Wednesday's Remnant Battle Lines Prophecy News Hour with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's show. Hong Kong, cultural melting pot, Bible distribution, Paraguay believes, Nigeria, Iran, Pastor Yusuf, persecution of Christians, Sahel, U.S. church decline, U.K. discriminates, and more on World Prophecy News. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Wednesday, the 15th day of August, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 16, starting at verse 18, through chapter 21, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 51, starting at verse 12, through chapter 52, verse 12. And the New Testament portion is John chapter 11, verses 1 through 57. Go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to read the latest articles by the Watchman and listen to the shows. The featured articles this week are Time, Tide, and Eternity Meet in One Place at the Lord's Coming. Time, Tide, and Eternity, the Rad Solution Today. Time, Tide, and Eternity Await No Man. Neither are they stopped by any man. While we can do many things, stopping time is not one of them. Also, check out Corey Tinboom's letter from 1974. And she said, the world is deathly ill. It is dying. The great physician has already signed the death certificate. But there is still a great work for Christians to do. They are to be streams of living water, channels of mercy to those who are still in the world. So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or Get Healthy Young Living to read the latest articles by The Watchman and listen to the radio shows. And tonight, as the end of days continues to move forward toward the tribulation, we find embroiled in the nations is a fight for souls. The groups Hinduism, Islam, Animism, Buddhists, and Christians find a battleground in the world's nations. Here in the midst, we also find China pushes against freedom of religion, Iran is pushing Christian persecution, and the Sahel religion and region in Africa becomes a danger zone of radical Islam. And now I welcome in the Watchman for our Prophecy News Hour, latest news, articles, and information concerning the days in which we live. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good. And it's already Wednesday in the middle of the month. That's hard to believe.
Yeah, it is. You know, for some time now, I've been getting stuff from parentalrights.org, and I try to remind, you know, people, especially those who have kids in school, to track and find out what your local authorities, including your school district, is doing concerning the children.
Yes, that would be a very wise thing to do.
And I don't know if you've seen it, but he was talking about the violation of parental rights. He says there was a 3-year-old Colorado girl who was strip searched while attending daycare.
Oh my goodness.
Without a warrant, without her mother's knowledge. The Federal District Court for Colorado ruled that the mother's right to be informed and give consent was not a clearly established constitutional right, neither was her daughter's right to bodily privacy.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, isn't that a crock?
What was the excuse for doing that? Just maybe they were pedophiles?
I don't know. He was just giving an example because this is a fundraiser for him. There's a lot of these particular organizations today that need all the help they can get in order to fight the injustice. They need lawyers.
Yeah.
And they need to be able to fund these things. The ACLJ's NJ Seculo is another one who does it on a national level and international level, and has connections directly into the White House as well as Washington, D.C., the Supreme Court. He also said, I think of teen Justina Peltier, placed in the custody of Boston Children's Hospital because their doctors disagreed with the diagnosis of the girl's family doctor. Yeah. It took 16 months for Justina to be returned to her fit and loving parents.
That's horrible.
By then, her health had greatly deteriorated, and sadly, she has yet to recover, if she ever will.
That is sad.
The state of Massachusetts caused great physical, mental, and emotional damage to this girl and to her family by removing her from her parents' care.
Yeah.
And he goes on and says, I think of the 14 children from Georgia who were separated from their parents for up to 148 days. When they made an emergency stop on the way home from a church conference. Without any evidence or justification, a Mississippi Child Services investigator accused the parents of child trafficking. When some of the kids decided to raise money for their church dance team. That one overzealous allegation took 148 days to unravel. It was 14 children who were separated from their parents for up to 148 days and took 148 days to unravel it.
Oh, my goodness. And, that's horrible.
And the Parental Rights Foundation sued on behalf of those families.
Good.
And so at any rate, I again tell you that you need to be aware of what's happening because there is a lot of liberals and others who want to take your rights as parents and as Christians and as believers. And the rights violating parental right is not just confined to Christian parents, but it's confined to every American in this country. And for a long time, we have seen that going on. Now, Tower and I knew very well of some of these problems. When we were, going to college, we saw that. We saw how overzealous child services people can actually take children from well-meaning and good parents that are going to school. And so this has not stopped. It's gotten worse. So before we begin our show, make sure that you pay attention. And every 3 days, 2,000 children are taken from the safety of their home.
Oh, man.
Now, this is the stats that they are talking about.
How many was that again?
2,000.
That's
and, of course, this is James R. Mason. He is with the Parental Rights Organization. That's just one of them. But there's two organizations, the Parental Rights, and there's also J. Seculo of the American Center for Law and Justice. Both of these do tremendous work. And, of course, I'm not personally familiar with parental rights, but they've been sending us stuff for a lot of years. The ACLJ, we know of that. We report on it. We have been somewhat involved in supporting their causes and stuff. And so we definitely support their cause, but we have a regular thing that we do when we talk about support, but at any rate, and we don't make that, we don't talk about that on air. But we do tell you that there are people that are doing good work, and it's in the courts. And, I seen another thing today that the fundamental system of the courts are changing because of President Trump and the Republicans, especially those leaders that are in the House and the Senate that are Republicans, who have taken on this to make sure that Trump's nominees are pushed through. And they've been doing that quietly and continue to do that. So praise the Lord for that.
Yes, amen.
So no matter what they do to Trump, we'll still have some justices that, you know, and judges that are worth their salt.
Yeah, that's great, huh?
It is. It is. And I've got to look at this thing, too. We do have a thing up front, a couple of stories. One is on Hong Kong, and another one is in Paraguay. And Tower is going to be doing these both. And I find Hong Kong an amazing thing, because Hong Kong has always been a real jewel, you know, in the Pacific over there, in the Asian area. And it was when China actually took it over from the UK, the British, that, you know, now it is a Chinese particular, you know, place. And yeah, it's Chinese who are actually the communist China who's causing a major, major persecution of Christians in China right now. And there's a lot of stuff coming over the wire on it. It's real bad going on right now. And, of course, this story is directly related to that. So, are you ready?
Yes. Where does it come from?
Where does what come from?
The story. Is it Mission News Network News? Or
Mission Network News.
Are they part of Bible Distribution?
Mission Network News is a reporting agency.
Okay.
And Mission Cry is the one that does the distributing.
Okay.
So Mission Network News is telling you about the Bible Distribution and what is going on in the Hong Kong area.
I read that earlier.
Because,
now I see.
Because Mission Cry are the people on the ground.
Okay. And it says, it starts out with the ongoing crackdown by Chinese Communist Party structure on Christians. We find that today's Bibles are disappearing in China. And here is a story from Mission Network News and Mission Cry. Okay, now. There are so many people from Indonesia and Africa and other places who are coming to Hong Kong. This Wolford says. So with what better place to distribute Christian literature and reach a wide audience? We have an incredible opportunity right now, and that opportunity is to send over $500,000 worth of free Bibles and Christian books. Wolford reports that stores in Beijing are pulling Bibles from shelves, and online stores often do not carry electronic Bibles. But even though they're tough to get into many places in many parts of China, one Bible can still change someone's life. We're not just sending a Bible. It doesn't stop at giving someone the ability to have their eternity changed forever. The word creates a difference in a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, an entire family, and even the culture. Mission Cry is planning on distributing the resources via a minister they've partnered with in Hong Kong. And he said, listen, I have the opportunity through businesses to get these containers released. And if you can get them to me, I can get them into the hands of people that need them. This minister goes downtown in Hong Kong and sits between massive stacks of books and Bibles playing worship songs on his keyboard. As he plays, he passes out free literature. It works so well that even other religious groups are taking notice. We've had such success that Muslims are setting up across the street and trying to mimic us and do what we're doing to hand out the Quran. By handing out the Quran. If their success is going to continue, this Mission Cry, they're going to need a new shipment. If they're going to send a new shipment, they're going to need your support. And they need $10,900 to ship the container. We have the opportunity to give away a minimum of 40,000 Bibles and Christian books for free in Hong Kong and get them in mainland China. And we need people to come alongside of us and say we're going to help support and get that overseas. And by doing this, they're hoping that, you know, someday someone from Hong Kong will be able to say in heaven, it was me that was saved. It was me that was able to read the word and hear that God's still a healer. And I don't know.
Amen.
Where the website is to get, if you want to go.
Well, all you have to do is go to Mission Cry. Or you go to Mission Network News is mnnonline.org. So Mission Network News Online, but it's mnnonline.org.
Okay. Thank you.
And if there's one place that needs a lot of Bibles, it's over there. Now, one time, a number of years ago, we have a friend who's a Christian businessman who actually was over in China. His daughter was actually over there doing some work. And they were able to go to church services, and there was Bibles over there all the time that you could freely buy. This has been quite a few years ago. But see, since then, the Communist Party has cracked down. And before they began their crackdown, there was a lot of news that came out that said that there were more Christians in China than there were members of the Communist Party. And so now the Communist Party, especially the local Communist parties who are in charge, are using the clout they have to crack down on Christian churches wherever they find them. So they do not like the growth of Christianity. And, of course, neither does the Muslims. That's why Iran cracked down. That's why Turkey's cracking down. And, Pakistan cracks down. India, you know, the Hindus are persecuting Christians there.
Yeah.
So, at any rate...
It's horrible. It's not good.
And another story that actually is kind of out of our region is Paraguay.
Yeah, that is an exciting story. This comes to us from Christian Aid. And there, a village strongman in a remote area of northeastern Paraguay told a native missionary that he would kill him if he continued talking with people about Jesus. The missionary, Oscar, and his name has been changed, of course, to protect him, had come to this windy plains to bring the message of grace in Christ to people eking out a living from the land in an area rife with rebel terrorists. Villagers practiced animistic rituals with a veneer of Catholicism, and Oscar found none of them had any knowledge of the Bible. And no Protestant missionary had ever gone there. The remoteness combined with the terrorist dangers and the unwelcoming religious establishment led to the daunting situation that Oscar now found himself in, facing down an influential community leader who railed against the growing number of evangelical Christians. The strong man, Gonzalo?
Yeah.
Told Oscar the Christians were causing division in the community. But the native missionary knew the real reason for his fury. Declining sales of liquor and other items used in the natives' religious drunken festivals as more people came to Christ, and a drop in the contributions villages were required to pay for the festivals. The remoteness, terrorist dangers, and unwelcoming religious establishment had kept all Protestant missionaries away, making the matter more emotional for Gonzalo. Oscar knew was that he feared villagers would starve if they abandoned the gods of the harvest. It's very simple, Gonzalo said. I will kill you if you continue telling people about Jesus, and nobody here is going to mind except your evangelical peasant friends who can do nothing. Sitting in Gonzalo's office where he had been summoned, Oscar told him he understood his concerns and left. After much prayer through over the next several weeks, Oscar met with the influential businessman at a tiny restaurant, explaining to him who the creator superior to all gods cared so much for the people in this remote, forgotten hamlet that he had sent his son to die for them. With trust in God, Gonzalo needn't worry about food for the people, and the son who gave salvation could give him peace beyond all understanding, Oscar told him. Despite the threats, our missionary was able to share with Gonzalo about Jesus, who can give him peace. The director of the Native Ministry was telling about this, and now Gonzalo has surrendered his life to Christ, and he is attending our local congregation with his whole family. The doors have since opened freely to share Christ with everyone in the village, and our missionary is working to disciple this family. It's important to highlight that this is an area where the Paraguayan People's Army guerrilla groups operate. It is very dangerous, but our missionaries are courageously preaching the gospel. And that is amazing.
Well, you know, and that's when you think of South America, these kind of guerrilla groups are very, very popular. I mean, they are throughout. Matter of fact, South America is one of the most dangerous regions there is. And you can find that all the way from El Salvador, Guatemala, all the way south. You know, Ecuador is the same way. They have communists in there, too. Yeah, it just infiltrated throughout South America.
Yeah, and they're very dangerous. They're very controlling, very intimidating, wicked.
And so that was in Paraguay.
Yeah,
so,
and they're able, with these encounters and other outreaches, including door-to-door efforts and Bible studies and evangelical events, the gospel is bringing light and healing to Paraguay. That is exciting. Praise the Lord.
Now, that's Christian Aid.
Yes.
Now,
and another thing I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
As you well know, we are living in the last days and we see all this wickedness going on. But God is still moving. He's still saving people. He's still giving life. He's the giver of life, and his work is going to go forward, no matter how evil or how wicked it is, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
That's right. And we have a choice to go forward in fear or faith. Of course, in fear, you're not going to go forward. You're going to retreat. But there's times when you're going forward, you have to be careful. So you're not going forward like some fool. You're going forward, you know, making sure that you're doing things that are being led of the Lord.
That's right.
Now, our next one, we're actually talking about an imam. Global Christian News actually ran this one. And, it, you know, this again comes out of Nigeria. And we've talked about the Fulani herdsmen and what they've done to kill local Christian farmers there. And, you know, the thing of it is that that other area, we were actually talking about it, and I'm trying to think, in the Sahel?
Yeah, I'm not sure how you say that.
Well, at any rate, that's a region that stretches throughout several countries in Africa, including Nigeria. And it's a big area, and in this area, a lot of these groups, like the Fulani, like Boko Haram, and others, operate freely in Africa. So the imam was 83 years old. His name Abu Bakar, and he hid 300 Christians in a mosque in a village. In the Plateau State in central Nigeria. Now, this is where the Fulani herdsmen attack villages. Now, this particular one attacked this summer, and they killed over 200 Christians in the process. But he was given a national honor by Buhari, who is the president there. And, of course, President Muhammadu Buhari is a Muslim himself, who replaced Jonathan Goodluck Johnson, who happens to be a Christian. But, you know, the problem of it is Jonathan Goodluck Johnson didn't have good luck. He didn't get reelected, and he also could not stop Boko Haram. And both of the groups, Boko Haram as well as the Fulani, are more equipped, better equipped than the Nigerian army is itself because of the money. These particular groups get into a lot of different trades, including slave trade. They will get into drugs and other things. They will attack and steal stuff. And so they manage to have a lot of top-notch weapons, whereas the Nigerian army don't. So this particular imam, and this is one thing, when you see this, you usually see Muslims killing Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
But in this case,
he was saving him.
Yeah. And the Plateau State governor said about this, it was only God who knows why he, the imam, did it at that age. It is now for us to study what he did and to also see how we would do to maintain peace. And the United States Chargé d'Affaires there said, let what the imam did to be a challenge for us, and let us risk our lives for the peace. The killing of innocent people is simply not acceptable, whether in Plateau, Zamfara, Benue, or Borno, or Terababa.
That's right.
We, as people of faith, should submit ourselves to God. Now, see, make no mistake about it. Nigeria, for a long time, was a pretty good place to be, but when ISIS came up, of course, Boko Haram had some leaders in there who pledged allegiance to ISIS and declared they would make Nigeria into a state like ISIS was. And so it has not had any peace. It's gotten worse. And the Fulani, all of a sudden, had come in contact with Boko Haram or some other group that actually helped to arm him and train him. And so instead of living, you know, alongside the farming community of Christians, they go in and their herds go into the fields of the farmers. The farmers then try to get the cattle out of there, and the Fulani kill them. And then they go in and destroy the villages. They kill the women, the children, you know, and do the whole nine yards. And we've been reporting on the Fulani for several years now, and it hasn't got any better at all. And so to see some imam at 83 who actually went and hit 300 Christians in the middle of all this, and the fact that the president is going to honor him means that this poor old guy is going to be targeted by the enemy, which is his own people, for doing what he did. So, it's just too bad.
It is. It's tragic.
Now, coming out of Iran, we've talked about Pastor Yusuf, but he's not the only one. There was actually three pastors that were lined up for this, but Pastor Yusuf was one of the first ones. We actually covered him a number of years ago when this first happened. And the American Center for Law and Justice has actually been trying to put together all the legal works, and of course the government there in Turkey threw out this thing from the American Center of Law and Justice and any attempts to get Pastor Brunson taken care of, and they were going to do the same thing for Yusuf, and so. Erdogan is not listening at all, doesn't want to listen, and the hostility to Christianity now has reached a new level, and that's because of Erdogan and his crackdown in an attempt to create a new Ottoman Empire or another caliph and a caliphate itself. And of course, this comes from the Sunni side, and so we've got a major problem there. Make no mistake about it. And it's not just the Sunni, but China is cracking down on Christians brutally. And we continue to do trade with them. And people, the thing, Tower, that is sickening is that while China has been cracking down on Christians during the Obama administration, and you go back even further than that, we all continued to have nice relations with China, but China cracked down on Christians.
And we're buying their products.
And we were buying their products. Walmart made China practically rich by buying huge container ships, the largest you can get on the ocean. They have filled with goods from China.
Yeah.
Now, see, the fact that Trump then took on China in this tariff thing, a lot of people are mad about it. But it's about time somebody did something.
That's
because
right,
China is not a friend.
No, sir.
And Turkey, of course, for their part, they put the tariff on American cars at 120 or 30%, which is fine. We don't want to sell them anything anyway.
And liquor, 140%.
Yeah.
And told people to boycott products from America. But their economy's going down the tank.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, with that kind of thing, they're not going to be able to buy it anyway.
Yeah.
But you see, this is why we talk about globalism. See, because you've got American companies that don't care that Christians and others are persecuted in some of these nations. And China will also persecute other groups as well. And that is Islam, Buddhist, Hindi, any number of other faiths that are there. There's a number of other faiths that are there, a number of people groups that are there.
Well, this Pastor Yusuf, he's out of Iran.
Yeah, that's right. And so we're talking about Iran. But see, Turkey is one that Pastor Brunson was in.
Right.
And China, we were talking about China, and that's another one. And so what you have here is China, who's been made rich by America and Walmart, and American Christian and Americans themselves, who are knuckleheads, who are willing to buy cheap Chinese good, make China rich, and not stand up and say to China, stop persecuting Christians and other groups. But see, we want our cheap goods. We want to satisfy the lusts of the flesh. We want to do all this stuff and sit in our nice fancy homes and say, see all the junk I have.
Yeah.
While you've got people that are being oppressed overseas, and you sit there like an idiot, and you wonder, well, this Trump, what's he doing with China? Well, maybe you need to get your head out of the toilet. Now, if that's kind of blank in your face, that's exactly what it is, because it's about time somebody out there in this satisfied church in America get up off their proverbial religious butts and stand up for freedom for some of these groups that are oppressed.
Amen.
But see, nobody does anything, and everybody hates Trump, it seems, except those that understand what he's doing. And of course, it's not that he's perfect. It's not that I agree with everything. I don't. But that, I'm telling you, when it comes to China and some of these tariffs, we need to stop doing business with some of these people because of what they're doing. And that includes Pakistan and India, of which India, which the BJP party, which happens to be the Hindi party, the minute they came to power, we were talking about the fact that the word on the street in India was that Christian persecution would follow, and it has. In Pakistan, Asa Bibi, prime example of a country that needs to be held accountable for what they're doing. And they need to change their blasphemy laws because Muslims are using them to get Christians thrown in prison for life or even killed. Now, Pastor Yusuf Nakhdarni happens to be in Iran, but him and a lot of others, and they just recently threw a whole church full of people from Iran into prison. Because they caught him participating in a church in Iran.
Yeah, that's so wrong.
They were sentenced up, I believe. I seen that today. They were sentenced
for a year.
Was it a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole church. I mean, there was only 14, but they were meeting in a home, so that's a whole church.
Right.
I mean, they weren't in a church like you are in America. What would you do, America? You're sitting in your big fancy whatever church, and all of a sudden, you know, some authorities came and they took your whole entire church and threw them in prison for a year for your faith. You see the difference in faith? You sit in your comfortable, easy peasy churches and you worry about your bank accounts, you worry about this, that, and the next thing. Well, if you look overseas, which I'm trying to direct you to, yes, you can live your life, but I'm telling you to get up and get more active, be more concerned prayerfully, financially in these brethren around the world that need help. And of course, Pastor Yusuf is going to be spending a long time in Evan prison, and he's also going to be put in solitary confinement for 2 years.
That's horrible.
They call it internal exile. You know, they literally just throw away the key, and they probably could care less. And the prison, it's a windowless quarantine ward, notorious for overcrowding, unhygienic conditions, oppressive heat, and insect infestations.
Ugh, yuck.
But see, the thing of it is, God's grace is able to sustain him.
That's right.
So while you're sitting in your comfortable church, may God remind us all to pray for Pastor Yusuf and others. And folks, and I'm not bragging here, I pray, and I do pray, for those people, Christians, that are in that dark, dank, dirty cell, without hope, with no one around, they're left to die, because the people could care less. Throw them a few scraps, and that's it.
Hoping to break their spirits.
Yeah. I pray for them.
Amen.
And I've been praying for them for years. Now, I'm here to tell you, I challenge you to wake up and see what's happening around you in your own church. Your pastor needs to be on fire for these things. And you're in the world. You're not supposed to be of the world. You're in the world, not of the world. But I guarantee you that it's coming.
Oh, it is. I just don't look forward to that.
So at any rate, Iran, we've been reporting on Iran's abuses for a long time. And the fact that, you know, Trump got rid of this deal that Obama made, which was dumb. Nobody even signed that deal. Did you know that?
Yeah, with Iran, yeah.
God, how dumb is that?
I can't believe it went through, even though nobody signed it.
How could they do that? Well, of course, the ACLJ, I believe it was them, who said that's the reason Trump could get out of it so easy. Nobody signed anything.
That's good.
They just went ahead and did it and hoped it worked out. But see, all the time. Now, of course, our other brother got out during the time.
Saeed Abedini.
And that's good. But
yes,
you know, the thing of it is that, you know, just like Yusef and a lot of these others, you may know their name, Pastor Brunson. There's a lot of other nameless Christians that are in these prisons that you don't know about. Do you think God is a respecter of person that he cares about Yusuf or Pastor Brunson more than he does those others? No.
No.
But I got news for you. You know, the word and the marching order for the end times church is they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. If you think discipleship in Jesus Christ is one of sitting in a sugar plum church and preaching a fairy tale Jesus, you're full of peanuts and baloney. This is serious business, and it takes serious faith and discipleship, and sometimes you have to go through stuff that even hell itself is afraid of. Dear God in heaven. And if you think this is a little bit too direct, well, that's just about life, because I'm telling you. I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith, and you're listening to Tower, who is my co-host. Been with me for a few years, huh?
And, yeah, just a few.
And we're here as advocates for the persecuted church. That means we advocate, we talk, we try to convince you of the need to support your brethren overseas and around the world. And even here, we do talk about Christianity here. With your prayers, with your finances, and support those organizations that are helping or working to make a difference overseas. Now, I was going to do something out of this one here, but I don't think we're going to do that right now, because I've already did a lot of that. I wanted to talk about the Sahel, because this comes out of Global Christian News as well. And this Sahel area, it just amazes me. It stretches. Nigeria's Islamic terrorist group Boko Haram has had part of its resources from ISIS, from Libya and Syria, seeping into the region through North Africa from East Africa. Boko Haram's affiliation and training by Al-Shabaab from Somalia and Kenya is aiding the terror group's resource.
That's too bad.
According to the Washington Post, there has been over a 300% increase in Islamic terrorist activities between 2010 and 2017 in many African countries. Reports estimate up to 10,000 people have been killed in the Sahel region alone. Ivory Coast and Burkina Faso have been repeatedly attacked by jihadi groups. Terror cell groups uncovered in Guinea, Guinea-Bissau, and Senegal, famed by its stability in the region, is currently having a growing number of terrorist cells and is now conducting the largest ever terrorism trial, with 29 people accused of trying to create an Islamic State-style caliphate in the region. Mali's Jihad al-Nusrat al-Islam, Nigeria's Boko Haram, Niger's coalition of terrorist groups building alliance have caused the United States of America to weaponize its drones in Mali since the killing of four American soldiers in Niger. Since that happened, there were significant things to change and learn, General Thomas D. Waldheiser said. This is in addition to the French drone base already active and gathering intelligence and preparing to engage the terrorist groups. And the Pan-Sahel group, you can see it throughout, stretching from the west to the east. It's a pretty big area.
Well, it is.
And, you know, it's been, the Sahel region has been a perfect vast desert land for any rebel or jihadi group. And this Sahel region where they're operating and get funds and are able to operate and train is more than twice the size of the United Kingdom. And they actually do get in there to grow and train army in order to overthrow weak governments.
Wow.
And so at any rate, these people aren't going away anytime soon. And of course, politicians, certain of those that are in the news, have said that Islam needs a radical reformation to conform to civilized pursuits in modern societies. But you can't say this to Muslims now, can you? Certainly not in Nigeria. You cannot tell people that.
Nope.
And you can't even tell, you know, many American. Now, the CAN representative is the Christian Association of Nigeria. And, of course, Nigeria, we've been reporting on what's been going on there for years now. So, you know, and to think, Tower, that this stuff is not in America. You have a lot of jihadist training camps in America already. They are plotting to take over America.
They are. They should get rid of them.
Yeah. If America ever goes to a civil war, you're going to find these Muslims playing both sides in order to weaken this country so they can take it over.
Yep.
This is exactly what is going on here. And I seen an article the other day, or maybe it was even today, and they were talking about the fact that there's a lot of people, a lot of people that are in the know in the government, and they're not saying anything about all the jihadist training camps that actually exist in America today.
Boy, that's too bad.
Now, we have, it's been a long time since we covered it, but, just do a search on Google. I don't like Google. You can go somewhere else if you can. But jihadist training camps. Now, of course, one of these days, Google and the other whores in the internet media, Facebook, Twitter, and a number of others, and of course, this includes Apple and Microsoft as well. They're all whores. They're globalists. They don't care about America. They care about their business. And, conservative Christianity and conservative republicanism and, patriotism, constitutionalists, these are all enemies. Because these people are all globalists. And then you can go into the globalist corporations. And there's a lot of those that are globalists. They may have started in America, but they're globalists now.
That's right.
And, of course, Google now is making inroads in China, working to do things in China, while China works to, persecute Christians. So in order to work in China, Google has to agree to side against Christianity.
Yeah, suck up to the government, communist government.
It's all for money, folks.
Yep.
That's what the whore does. And you can read about the whore in Revelation 17 and 18. One day, this is all going to come to an end.
It will. Not good. Nothing I want, that's for sure.
Now, a story coming out of thestate.com talks about South Carolina churches shedding thousands of members a year, even as the state's population grows by tens of thousands. Now, of course, this is the Bible Belt here, and it's just one of a number of nations that are the Bible Belt. And we've seen it for years and years that within the Bible Belt, that's where some of the worst things happen as far as atrocities.
Yeah.
And what you have here is a number of church closings, and they see a cultural shift in South Carolina in regard to the fundamentalism that's there. 97 Protestant churches, at least that number, this report says, have closed across South Carolina since 2011. And that's data from the Lutheran, Presbyterian, United Methodist, and Southern Baptist denominations.
Wasn't South Carolina the one that was going to put the Bible back in the schools with the Ten Commandments?
Well, you said that.
Yeah.
Isn't that where Justice Roy Moore was from?
I'm not sure. I think so.
He's the one that got in trouble during the Obama administration as a judge for his stand on the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And he actually ran for office.
And won.
Did he? I don't know whether he did or not.
Well, I think at one time he did. Maybe he didn't.
I don't know. I think you're right, though. It seems to me that he won. And according to this, many churches are dying slow deaths, stuck in stagnation, if not decline. And they said if they don't do something soon, well, it's going to be shuttered. And it's quite a long article. And, of course, this represents the old days where Sunday was the proverbial day of rest. And many churches were full. And, the thing of it is that you can tell what's happening. We have a lot of mega churches, but overall, the churches are silent.
They are.
They really are. The voices, like we had, even say, like, when did Wilkerson die? It wasn't 20 years ago. We've been doing over 20 years. So what would you say, 15 years ago or 10 years ago?
Probably maybe more like 10.
And see, Wilkerson used to stand up all the time. And then, of course, there was the Presbyterian Church, the big one down in Florida. I forget that guy's name, but he used to be Kennedy.
Yeah.
He used to stand up and say a lot. There was Jerry Falwell. There was a lot of others. And even going back in the 50s, we had evangelists and others. Of course, Billy Graham being the biggest one. But you just don't have that anymore. And we have a whole generation of people that are away from the Lord, period. And so at any rate, when we talk about these things, be sure to pray for them.
He died in 2011.
2011, okay. Yeah, and he, of course, he was older and he hadn't been really speaking on a national level for a while. You know, when he was younger, he used to get up and actually, he'd write books. Remember the books he wrote?
Oh, yeah.
And he talked about the financial crisis that was coming and a number of other things. He wrote books on them. And so Jerry Golden in the Golden Report is talking about, a war approaching. Now, he says another night of pure terror in Jewish communities near the Gaza Strip. Dozens of rockets were fired into Israeli towns. Sirens sounding in the middle of the night, kids screaming, parents doing everything they can with a few seconds before rockets hit and kill and destroy the Israeli Iron Dome, intercepting many, but still some getting through. Now that is his summation of what's happening. And of course, there is others. Turkey's calling for, 59 nations of Muslims to get together for form an Arab coalition army to destroy Israel. That's Turkey, Erdogan. Iran is openly testing their rockets now. They're pushing to get their rockets in order so they can attack Israel. Israel themselves are expecting two major wars right now. One to come in from Syria, and the other is right at hand right now. Now, of course, Jerry talks about this. Why doesn't Israel go into the West Bank and go into the Gaza and do things and take care of it once and for all? Stop these people from doing this. Someone has suggested, because over in Gaza, they actually give money to those who die in martyrdom, go over there and kill them all, then that'll bankrupt them and they can't afford to pay them. Well, that's kind of a tough way to do it, but, that was this guy's suggestion. But the bottom line of it is, Israel knows a big war is coming. With Hezbollah and Iran and Lebanon and Syria, and they don't want to fight a war on two fronts at the same time. Now, that's Jerry is summing up what people are saying about this, and he says the problem with that thinking is you have no choice but to fight the war you have regardless on one or two fronts. In other words, you have to stand up.
Right.
And others are saying that it's America holding Israel back, so Trump can make a big deal, and that also is no reason to allow someone to kill your citizens and then just blow up their empty buildings. And he's referring to something that Israel has been doing for a long time, is they stand there and put up with the rockets being shot at them, and then they call up and tell people to get out of the building because they're going to blow it up. And so the terrorists find out about that, they go out, and so Israel blows up an empty building. And so this is how ludicrous this thing is. because Israel is afraid to just take it to them because of all public opinion around the world, including in America. So if you're Israel today, you are in a predicament. But Scripture says it's going to happen.
Yep. Unfortunately.
So at any rate, we did not get to another major one, and we probably won't do that. Maybe I can do that next week. But I have covered some of that, but it was like a summary. And we just can't do that. Just a lot of news there. We were going to do a story on UK discrimination against Christians. The problem of it is that the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, the information that came out of there, there was 1,358 Syrian refugees for resettlement in Great Britain. All of them were Muslims except for four who were Christians. So in spite of what the UK says, that as a government we stand with persecuted Christians all over the world and will continue to support them, the fact of it is, in their own country, they're allowing in Muslims.
That persecute Christians.
Yeah, instead of the Christians. Four.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
10% of the pre-2011 population of Syria was Christian. Now it's fallen to 5% Christians in Syria. There were 70,000 Yazidis in Syria. Yazidis with Christians were among the groups targeted by ISIS. We covered that. There was a lot of Yazidis murdered. There was a lot of women taken captives. In 2017, get this, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees recommended over 7,000 Syrian refugees for resettlement in the UK.
Wow.
Only 25 were Christian and 7 were Yazidis.
Wow.
The Home Office ended up accepting 4,850 Syrian refugees, of whom only 11 were Christians. That's the UK for you.
Unbelievable.
Now that same attitude is globalist. That's the same attitude that Obama had.
Yes, he
identical
is.
To that. But see, even in America, under Trump, the amount of Christians that were allowed in also fell. Trump, that's one thing that they need to take care of. So we've got a real pain. The problem of it is, in the world, it seems like many of these people don't care for Christians any more than they care for Jews and care for Israel. And they certainly don't care for the Yazidis. We've got a major problem out there. And the UK, as much as they spout off, they have a lot to do before they can prove to anybody that they're willing to help Christian refugees.
Yep.
And America needs to step up to the plate there, too. But legally, not opening the borders like morons. Now, that's what the Democrats want to do. Opening the border is idiotic and stupid. And getting rid of ICE, that's the dumbest thing the Democrats have ever come across.
Yeah.
And the one thing about it, if the Democrats, and along with Maxine Waters, if they win and manage to take over this country, you had better get your butt and your family and you get out of Dodge, because when they get done, this place won't be fit for man or beast, because Waters don't have the sense to do anything. And the Democrats, with the way they're going, pushing socialism, open borders, and a high percentage, 50% of the refugees coming into America wind up on government aid in America. That's why they all want to come in.
Yeah.
I'd want to come in, too, if I could go over to some country and I could get on free money and live in a house and get my kids paid for and get free health care. Dear God in heaven, that's where we're at in America. That's where the Democrats want to take you. I'm not Democrat or Republican, but really, Democrats, you need to come up with something more than socialism, communism, and some nut by the Maxine of Waters or that gal who happens to be a socialist communist who won in New York. That's hardly anything to stand up about.
That's for sure.
But our focus on this is persecuted Christians. But if this nation goes to hell in a handbasket, and if Google and Facebook and these others continue to oppress conservative websites, and I can tell you right now, WorldNet Daily is facing one of the worst months that they've ever had because of what's been going on with these major conservatives. We know that 90-some percent, as reported by some of in the news, that I think it was 93% of the major conservative websites, 93% of their business has been lost because of what they're doing. Shadow banning on Twitter, and I can tell you from our own numbers, you know, it doesn't look good. But see, I've known a lot of things that were coming. I've expected it. I ain't worried about it. You know, because God will make sure the people who need to hear the truth will find us.
That's right. Amen.
I do not depend on Facebook and Twitter and the whore Google. I look to the Lord. We're here with a message. And that message is we need to step up to the plate and have faith because hell is coming and it is vicious and it wants its way. Well, I got news for hell. We stand up for the Lord Christ and our Father, and we stand up by faith saying we're here. And we will stand. And having done all to stand, we will stand therefore. And with that, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, well, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. And pray for your brothers and sisters. God bless you.
Well, Tower, before I go, I'm going to play something from a friend of mine.
Oh, good.
We go way, way back with Jerry Herrera. He has, you can find him on Reverb Nation. Reverb Nation. His name is Jerry Herrera. This song is Genesis 7. This is only a minute 54 seconds. He has others he sent us. We go way back with him. He sent me stuff before a long time ago, and we kind of parted our own ways because he felt God calling him into a Christian music ministry, and he's good at it. And then all of a sudden he was on LinkedIn again, and he contacted me.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
Yes, because Jerry's a good brother in Christ, and we've known him for a long, long time. So check out Jerry Herrera on Reverb Nation. And this is his. I've never heard it before. This is the first time I hear it. And when this is done, I'm going to play the close, and we'll see you tomorrow night. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.